Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
From draining the swamp to challenges through the courts, Donald Trump has his work cut out. But does he have the motivation to finish the job? You'll find out on Liberty Nation Radio.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
The United States government will never default, that we will raise the debt ceiling, and Treasury will not use any gimmicks. We will make sure that the debt ceiling is raised.
I don't want to raise debt ceiling. I don't want any of that stuff. That stuff's bad news bear, man. I don't want any of it. That's just the way I'm looking at it. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you. And we are at the top of this first hour. We got a lot of stuff to hit. And in some of it, we're going to talk about some of these trade agreements. We're going to get into some of the latest with the media. I've got a bunch of media stuff for you that's just absolutely garbage. And we're going to get into some of the culture stuff. And I'm going to have all of that here for you. It's, if you can hear it, I don't know if people can hear it or not. Just FYI, it is storming like torrential rain. Crazy here in Dallas, Texas. Steve, can you hear it actually through the microphone? I'm curious. Yeah, well, it's because our dog is having an existential. He's having nom flashbacks. Wick is having nom flashbacks right now. It's crazy. So we're gonna get into all of that here. Well, we're gonna try to hopefully get into stuff without the power going out. It flickered early this morning, and I've been a little nervous about it because, you know, you don't want the power to go off when you're on air. So if it does go off, just so you know, we'll make sure that, well, it's going to be goth talk. It'll be a dark hour. We'll still be rolling, but we'll be in the dark. We're all ready for it, Kane. We've got our candles, we got our incense, we got everything. We're ready to goth it up. So just FYI, because I mean, it's loud. I don't know how you all can't hear it. Anyway, all right. So let's get to everything. So we've got this. I read this headline this morning, and I got real excited, and then I reread it. It says, India, UK, free trade agreement concluded. Wait a minute. Wait a second. Why did they get one? Why did they make theirs first? What's the holdup with us? Why do we not have this? Because we need to have all of these different, what was it, 77? 72, 77 different nations that we have to have these agreements with, and I would like to see these agreements be made. We got to have them. I talk about this every damn day to the point where I am just done talking about it. Every damn day, it's the same thing. Well, we're almost there. I'm going to tell you guys something. I'm not making excuses for the administration when something's not done, because it's, I mean, we got to call balls and strikes. I realize that a lot of this too has to do with Congress. So I don't want to seem like I'm being mean, but at the same time, this has to get done, or you're not going to have a second half of Trump's term. They're going to drag him into impeachment palooza. Everything that everybody voted for is gone. It's gone. It's done. Everyone else is so afraid that they're going to jeopardize their stupid little cottage industry of clickbait whoredom that they're going to lose when, you know, POTUS terms out. They're going to lose all of that influence, and nobody's going to care about these people. But they're not being honest with you about this stuff. It is so dangerous what we're doing, what we're playing with right now, and by having these people drag their feet in Congress. So I saw this India-UK free trade agreement. Why is theirs done first, Kane? Am I being completely irrational? I'm mad.
No, I know that we're in a 90-day pause right now with the tariffs, the reciprocal nature of the tariffs. And so these countries now are scrambling to make deals. So I'm less concerned about two different countries making a deal with themselves, because we will have a deal.
I don't like your Starmer.
No, nobody does.
I want to mean girl him away from the table.
Nobody likes him. But
I want to bully him.
Yeah. It does feel right to do it.
Why doesn't, I mean, I look at this and I'm like, wait a minute, he's a jackwagon. Why is this done first? So, oh, and they're all like, Modi was like, I'm delighted to speak with my friend Keir Starmer. We've successfully concluded an ambitious, mutually beneficial free trade agreement. Is this also something that you think that they orchestrated to try to put pressure on the U.S.? That's how I'm reading this.
Yes, and for
it makes me angrier.
Yeah, for show, so that there's enough to for the media, you know, to parse out to the public. That's what this is about. We're still in that 90-day pause. These countries will want to make a deal before we get to the end of those 90 days. This all will happen. What these countries do, I'm less concerned about, because we'll have our own independent thing going on with India and our own independent thing going on with the UK. So I'm not too concerned about this at all.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not that I'm concerned. I'm just like, you know, I'm mad because I wanted to get it done first. I'm very competitive. I'm even competitive with like prime ministers. I shouldn't be, because I'm a citizen of this. You know, it's like I just don't like Keir Starmer doing anything successful. I love the Brits. They're our allies. They're great, dear friends of ours. But at the same time, not him, but at the same time, I don't want him to do better. Is that mean to say? No, I just don't want him to do better.
No, that's fair. I mean, we're Americans, right?
I want this to be our announcement. I want our, you know, that's what I would like.
Well, you know who's visiting the president today, right?
Yeah, the Mark Carney.
Mm-hmm. So he's been talking tough ever since he quote unquote won an election.
Well, he's there right now meeting. I think he just pulled up like 15 minutes ago to the White House. POTUS greeted him. He's a lot shorter than I thought he was. He's 5'3 with an attitude. You know how they did, the TikTok thing, 5'3 and an attitude, 5'3. He's a wee dude. I think he is. POTUS is actually ginormous. So he's meeting the Canadian Prime Minister, Mark Carney. That's going to be an interesting. It looks like it was like a very cordial. I always watch that first meeting when they shake hands. I'm like, let's see here. And it was very cordial. I mean, Trump was very nice about it. He's, you know. So he's meeting with him. And we've got, let me pull this up for you. In top of all that, I got a couple of other things. So Paul Tudor Jones, he's this guy who's considered to be this financial whiz. So here's why I'm putting some emphasis on what he says, because it's not unlike what our friend Carol Roth has said prior. He has said stocks are bound to hit new lows, even if we tone down the tariff battle with China. And he said, you know, the Fed's locked in on not cutting rates. POTUS is locked in on tariffs. It's not great for the stock market. He said we're probably going to go down to new lows, even if and when POTUS dials everything with China back to 50%. Now, that's not unexpected. It isn't unexpected to see something like this. But I think a lot of that is going to be mitigated by codifying some of the deregulation and the controlling of spending. Gosh, that thunder. God didn't like that headline. I'm just going to say, did not like the headline. Now, on top of this, we have Mattel, who says, remember the soundbite from POTUS where he said, well, maybe you just need two dolls. I don't really think that's the best messaging. And this is where I'm going to tell you, you can like POTUS and like this administration and think they're awesome, et cetera, et cetera. I'm always going to call balls and strikes. Okay. I'm not in a cult. I don't like anybody enough to where I will not disagree with them. Nobody. There's no such thing as blind allegiance. And it's unpatriotic. I mean, for crying out loud, you're supposed to question your government, not be best friends with them. It just goes against our very American DNA. That said, I think that messaging wasn't the best, like maybe $2 instead of 30. I saw people saying $2 Don and all this other stuff. Oh my gosh. Maybe not the best. But the reason I say this is because now you have Mattel, who has this headline. It's the CEO of their Mattel. And they said that they're not going to onshore jobs, but they are going to have price hikes. So that's the Mattel CEO told NBC he does not foresee toy manufacturing coming to America. They said by the end of the year, less than 40% of Mattel's product will be sourced from China. The goal that they have is to reduce that to below 25% within the next 2 years. But the idea of bringing all that back to the U.S., he said, that's not going to happen. He's like, a significant part of toy creation happens here. But, you know, putting it all together, he's like, but they are going to reduce it to 25%. So that's a step forward. I mean, look, you're not going to be able to accomplish with tariffs complete onshoring of U.S. jobs without deregulation and making it a more hospitable financial environment for business. You're just not going to do it. I mean, our cap gains are our corporate taxes, rather. The fact that we have corporate tax rate higher than that of communist China is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. And all of the people out there bitching and moaning about onshoring jobs, I haven't seen a single one of these stuffed suits say anything about that statistic. And people who don't talk about it don't understand its relation to fomenting a hospitable business environment. You're not going to be able to get everything that you want just by controlling it executively. Because you're putting a Band-Aid on the problem. That's just, all of these are symptoms of the bigger problem. The bigger problem being a government that spends too much, that has too much regulation, that doesn't prioritize production first, manufacturing first. So until we have all of this other stuff in gear, you can pass whatever EO you want to. It's only going to put a Band-Aid on the problem, and that Band-Aid's not one of those tough strips. So, I mean, all of this other stuff has to come into play here. All of it does. Now, Ford is warning. I don't think Ford should. What bailout did Ford get? Do you remember, Kane, off the top of your head? They got a significant bailout back in the day. Remember that too big
somehow, I feel like they were one of the few that refused.
Oh, wait. No, you're right. I'm thinking of GM. Ford was the only one that refused.
Yeah.
You're correct. Ford was the only one that refused. Their warning of a $2.5 billion hit as it pertains to tariffs. They suspended their annual earnings forecast. This coming in from a couple of different places, including Reuters and New York Post. They suspended their annual guidance because of uncertainty around the tariffs, saying the levies are going to cost about $1.5 billion in adjusted earnings before interest and taxes. Oh, maybe we should control the taxes, don't you think? Wow. Wow. Let's just full stop right there. Huh. Before interest and taxes. Full stop. That's what we have Tudor Jones talking about. And what this article is alluding to, just to tie it all together, is that the bigger problem isn't tariffs. And this is what the left doesn't get either. The right doesn't get it, and the left doesn't get it. The bigger problem isn't tariffs. The bigger problem is another T, and it's called taxes. And it's another consonant, an R, and it's called regulations. Deregulate. And cut taxes. I know I sound like a broken record, but there are literally people that are supposed to be smart, but again, clickbait whores that are on the right that don't realize this. They think, oh, we'll just pass a tariff and everything's going to get fixed with the tariffs. I'm not kidding you. Super smart people that go on TV and they say this stuff. That's not accurate. The left is like, no, tariffs are all the problem. We need more taxes and regulation. No, that's the problem. That's created all of this mess. So this is all, tying this all together, this is the issue. Now, coming up, ProPublica was awarded a Pulitzer. They wrote this stupid story about women dying because they couldn't go out and get their abortions. But what they failed to actually properly attribute was that the issue isn't the inability to get an abortion. These people rushed to get a hastily concocted, rushed experimental abortifacient that actually caused the deaths of these women. So ProPublica, they lied, and they got a Pulitzer for it. We're going to discuss that. I also have some other media for you. In addition, in Loudoun County, I know, Virginia, check this headline out. A girl was in the boys' locker room videotaping boys undressing. They're the ones who seemingly look like they get in trouble, and she doesn't. What in the world? We're going to talk about this here. Coming up, we have a lot to hit. It is a very busy, stormy day in Texas as we roll towards headlines. Our partners that help bring you the program, our friends over at All Family Pharmacy, they've got you covered, whatever it is that you need. Is it any of the medications or therapeutics that the system tried to keep from you during lockdown? You know, things like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, which are so completely safe to take. I mean, they even allow pregnant women. They sometimes will suggest hydroxychloroquine for them. Because you can't rush through experimental injections and hand Pfizer multi-billion dollar paydays if you don't ban therapeutics. This is the thing. Like they just not, well, they didn't just dismiss alternatives. They outright destroyed them. They wanted you to rely on the government and just listen to whatever they were ordering you to do. Well, things have changed. And there's All Family Pharmacy. All Family Pharmacy has your daily maintenance medications. They also have the ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, everything. Simple, fast, and affordable. No insurance, no problem. They got straightforward pricing, online ordering, shipping in just 2 to 4 days or overnight in a pinch if you need it. Everything is made in the USA. All of their medications are manufactured right here in the USA, ensuring high standards of quality and safety. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana for 10% off using promo code DANA10. Don't wait. Be prepared. Protect yourself and your family today. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Use coupon code DANA10 to save 10%.
People are able to put Gucci on layaway. Luxury brand Gucci has partnered with a firm to offer tailored monthly payments for buy now, pay later. If you can't afford Gucci, that's okay, but don't do this. This won't end well.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So China is hit by worker protests over unpaid wages and factory shutdowns. They're not protesting the communism. They're just protesting the sweatshop labor that they basically have. They're disrupting Chinese factories, sparking worker protests over unpaid wages. That's according to the Financial Times. They've been, because factories have been shutting down and furloughing workers. Some of this has to do with the trade war, by the way, just saying, with that 145% duties placed on these products. So people are mad because the CCP has been shutting down their factories. Collections are coming for millions of student loan borrowers. The Education Department is going to threaten to confiscate tax refunds. Good. Absolutely. That's what it is to be a big kid in today's world. You take out a loan, you bet your ass you're going to pay your loan. It's not my responsibility to pay for all these trust fund welfare suckling at the teat of the taxpayer grifters. Pay your own way or be more responsible. Get better grades and get a scholarship, or maybe go to trade school or do something else. Get a skill set. But expecting everyone to pay for your college education, you are the scum of the earth grifter if that's something that you subscribe to. So good, go after them, because some of us are tired of we're tired of dealing with high taxes to pay for this mess. White House says no financial decisions have been made on movie tariffs. They're still exploring all options. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Our partners that help bring you the program, our friends over at Super Beats. You guys are familiar with the Super Beats, folks. The Super Beats hard chews. Well, now they have the Super Barine, and it's available at the Sam's Club. And your metabolism affects everything. You can support it with Super Barine. It's $5 off at Sam's Club through April 29th. It's just $24.98. It's plant-based, doctor-formulated. It has a unique form of berberine and Italian olive fruit extracts. You get additional antioxidant and cardiovascular support. It's a unique berberine. They've clinically studied it, and it delivers nearly 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. So that means you only have to take one capsule a day. It's highly concentrated, easy to swallow. And if you're worried about GI distress, it includes grapeseed extract for greater tolerability. Visit Sam's Club to restock your heart health support with Super Beats Heart Chews and expand your routine with the new Super Barine for healthy metabolism and blood sugar support. And don't forget, Super Barine is $5 off at Sam's Club through April 29th. Snag this offer at Sam's Club while it lasts. Start today and get on the road to better cardiovascular health support.
New data shows consistent polar ice levels for 20 years. Great news for everyone except the climate alarmists. Democrats in Colorado push new immigration laws to help illegals avoid deportation. And Republicans try to end shady lawmaker stock trading with the Pelosi Act. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs, too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here at the bottom of this first hour. We're in a Brit pop, Brit rock, like late 90s, early aughts mood because of the rain and the storm here in Texas. It's not helping the mood. We're really more cynical and gothy than we are normally. So it's good to be with you. Channel 347 is the stream over at DirecTV. You can also catch us. X, Rumble, where the chat is. I'm not responsible for what those people do. Okay. Facebook, YouTube, all that good stuff. Blah, blah, blah. So I want to just change, because I could sit here and we could just talk forever, all 3 hours about tariffs. But there's other stuff happening. So we're going to circle back. One of the things that I do, it's like a guilty pleasure, is I love people watching, right? I read the Daily Mail, which is a garbage paper, because I like to people watch, right? Just like, you know, if you go out and you have a, you know, glass of wine, it's nice enough. You're sitting outside talking with your friends, your spouse, whatever, and you're just people watching outside, right? So the Met Gala, which I normally don't pay attention to and haven't for like ever, because it's usually a bunch of stuffy people that wear overpriced stuff and they try to be very extravagant. And it's all for the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Anna Wintour, who helms Vogue, she organizes it, and she's like notoriously steely about whoever gets in and, you know, what the theme is. So the theme last night, and I thought it was kind of odd because it seemed like it was very, well, it seemed like it was very racially charged. So there's a style, it's called dandyism, right? And dandyism was black or white. It was all, you know, all manner of everything. And it was basically, how do I put it? Like, you're dressing to the nines, like when you step out, with accessories on point. Like, you've got the hat, you've got the fascinator if you're a lady, you've got, you know, everything is like perfectly tailored. You look sharp, it's pressed, you look like you just hopped out of a bandbox. You look nice. Now, it's always, and I love tailoring and proper dress because I think it's a sign of a healthy society. I am super old school and I go into rabbit holes with this stuff. What they did yesterday is they wanted to focus specifically on black dandyism with an emphasis on structure with clothing. Now, you might be like, what does that mean? Really, I don't know. It's up for interpretation if you look at some of the people who arrived at the Met Gala. Now, the Met Gala is this big fundraiser thing that they do for the Metropolitan Museum of Art. They're one big thing a year. Everybody goes to it. Well, not everybody. It's a very, like, Anna Wintour specifically selects each guest. So they wanted to explore black dandyism specifically, which I thought, okay, it's Anna Wintour. She's super far left. Of course, it's going to be racially charged, whatever. So it just basically means you're going to dress to the nines. You could pay homage to, like, you know, I guess like black, you know, iconic members of art or whatever. And then your outfits are supposed to be a little structured. So usually this is where people get weird with their stuff. They get experimental. Experimental, I guess, makes sense in some sense. I am one of those people that believes that form follows function, but I also think you don't have to rob it of flair. So some of them, like the dude who had a fake piano strapped to his back yesterday, I just didn't get it. And, you know, I was looking at this, and my first thought when I watched all these people, I first thought the guest list was kind of a downgrade. Apparently there was like an OnlyFans person that got invited. How does that even happen? Now, wait, don't show up. We'll get to the Pam Anderson thing in a minute because that's a whole other topic. So the first thing I thought was, I guess they're just inviting anybody and everybody here. Kamala Harris attended last night and she was in a Cruella de Vil gown that was half black and half white. And the way I think it was British Vogue, they said, oh, she looks stunning. That is an overused word. Like, I see people all the time go, that's gorgeous or that's stunning. I'm like, no, it's not. That's like mid. Stop. She's not stunning. It was it looked like a jersey dress from, you know, like a wrap dress from the 90s. Juan's getting ready to show you what she... Okay, so this is her outfit. First off, if you're going to wear a neck scarf, you don't need dangly earrings because there's too much happening there in the neck area, particularly with the pleats going around the shoulder. I get very weird about this stuff. Also, I don't understand what's happening with the sleeves. Like, one of the sleeves is blousy and the other one's more structured. There's no structure in this dress. And if it's satin, it's such an unflattering material and it just drapes across her pitifully, highlighting all of her worst areas. Why would you wear this? I don't like asymmetrical necklines with neck scarves like this and then completely out of place, dangly, like quasi-chandelier earrings. Stop it. I am my grandmother. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That just hit me. I'm 90. So you see what I mean? I just don't like it. When you wear a dress like that, you shouldn't have two humps, the bust and the belly. Okay. You can't. You gotta pick one over the other. You can't have something that drapes like that. I know guys don't care about this, but guys, I'm giving you an insight into the female psyche. So just bank it. Okay. So I was looking at this. I'm like, well, damn, they just invited anybody and everybody. I was waiting to see what's his face? Billy Ray Cyrus show up. Although he's dating Elizabeth Hurley right now. So that's a whole dude, Google that. Google it. Kano, don't have a heart attack. Billy Ray Cyrus is dating Elizabeth Hurley, who was the punk queen in her day before she got with Hugh Grant. Google that. I was like waiting to see him step on the red carpet. And then I can't remember who this guy was with the piano on his back, but okay. I don't know what's the red bean. Okay, you know, I don't know. He looks like he just got, you know, like an achievement in Darktide and he's wearing it on his back. I don't understand what's happening, but okay.
That's accurate.
It's accurate. So here's my thing. You have all these people, they have the structured dress. Some look nice, 98% look like trash. I thought Zendaya looked really good. I thought her outfit was nice. I loved her headwear. Make headwear great again. Hats on women need to become a thing again. But can we talk about Pam Anderson for a moment? Because there are a lot of people that were questioning her. Now, if you don't follow Pam Anderson, I mean, clearly she was married to Tommy Lee. Everybody knows this. She was the Baywatch babe. She was like the 90s icon. So she shows up. She got her hair cut. And she's been in a thing where she doesn't wear makeup. And she did it for health reasons. If you follow her, she explained why she doesn't wear makeup. She wants to be healthy. She cooks organically. She even has a cooking show that Meghan Markle totally ripped off poorly because Pam Anderson actually cooks. She makes all her own food. She grows her own vegetables. I mean, she's super healthy and fit. That takes a lot of effort. So she's been going to these events with no makeup on. So she showed up at the Met Gala last night. And a lot of people were going, can you believe how dowdy and frumpy she looks? I need a full stop with these people because most of the people that I see criticizing her looks would not be given a second glance from a 1 or 2 out of 10 at the bar. Okay. The people who are criticizing her, they're like 1s and 2s. I need them to take a million seats right now because ugly people don't get to comment on Pam Anderson's outfit. So first off, let's start with this. She's 57 years old. Her skin is flawless. She puts a lot of effort into taking care of herself. For the people who think that effort is only manifest by wearing a butt ton of makeup on your face, right? I hate makeup. I don't even have eye makeup on right now. I have mascara and that's it because I can't stand makeup and it's humid here. So she has amazing skin, 57 years old. She has not had plastic surgery. She is naturally fit. She is wearing a completely appropriate, perfectly tailored, structured dress befitting the theme. Her haircut is on point. The bangs may not be my taste, but they're well executed. She's 57. I know 20-year-olds who could not go on the red carpet barefaced because their skin looks like asphalt, right? They look like it's like pockmarked. I know 30-year-olds who do not have this woman's figure. So she shows up naturally looking better than 95% of the people there, that's a win. She looks amazing. And there is no shame. Newsflash, women don't have to be boobs out with caked on makeup, spider leg lashes, hair extensions out the ass, you know, with full everything, acrylic everything. They don't have to look like a wrung out, try hard OnlyFans wannabe sex pot. They can also look like this and have some natural beauty. So mega props to Pam Anderson for flying the one finger salute in the face of society and restating what true feminine beauty looks like. Mega props to her. And for all the 1s and 2s and mids that are criticizing her, let's wait until you're 57 years old and let's parade you on the red carpet with your natural skin and your figure. And let's see if you can even remotely compare. So I thought she was the one of the winners of this. And I told Kane on break, I look at things like this, like events like this, as a kind of like a temperature check on society, right? And I was looking at the people that were on the red carpet and all just, it just looked like it was nothing. It just looked like it fell off. It looked like a symptom of a sick, sad, broken society, right? Broken fashion, just, you know, people who tried too hard. Juan's getting Zendaya. I thought her outfit was perfect, perfectly tailored suit, perfect hat. She was a winner. This is what, you know, feminine beauty. You don't have to be like OnlyFans. You don't have to, you know, with the Jasmine Crockett eyelashes and the extensions, you know, out to there. You don't have to have all that. But otherwise, I thought it looked like just a sick, sad society. I did. And I love that Pam Anderson, her face was so shining. I mean, she just like was light. I loved it. And I'm not like a big I'm not like a major fan. Like, I haven't followed her all her life. I just saw, you know, some of the things that she said. Good on her. Good on her, right? Isn't that what we want? Or no, we want fake stuff, right? We want fake engagement. We want fake everything. We want fake news. We want fake lives. We want curated carousels that only show off our best moments. Fake, fake, fake. I mean, that's literally part of the digital sickness. And we expect it to translate to real life events like this. And when it doesn't, we're like, oh my gosh, that's so unlike what I'm used to seeing on Instagram, where everybody looks like they're made of marzipan. They're all flawless. Everyone you know uses a filter. I don't even post pictures of myself when I'm in bad light. Admittedly, I totally don't. Everybody uses something, just so you know. But no one wants to be honest about it because everybody's supposed to be perfect. That is a digital sickness. And it's something that we, who are all about conserving individual power, and I think being who you are is part of that individual power, should be pushing back against. So good on Pam Anderson. Good on all these people for like looking nice and all this stuff. Otherwise, oh my gosh, there were some absolute misses. Men do not need to be in skirts. I don't care. Unless you're Scottish, don't do it. And it's not a skirt, it's a kilt. But don't do it. You know, don't do it. I don't want to see it. I don't like, some of the men looked like fruitcakes. They just did. I'm like, some of y'all look a little bit light in them loafers and not in a fashionable way, I have to say. So that's, Kane didn't pay any attention to any of this. That's the biggest dose of estrogen some of the men listening to will get for this year. Mm-hmm. It's just that right there. But I do think it's like a sign of a sick society. It is, isn't it not? Like, you look at some of the stuff and you're like, oh my gosh, this is supposed to be the best. Steve DJ Funkle said that Sabrina Carpenter looked like an M&M. I barely know who she is.
Well, not,
but she has way too many extensions. Like, you should not look like Aslan. Like, Kristi Noem needs to stop with the extensions. It looked like she skinned Aslan and put it on her head. Quit. Stop it. Your natural hair is pretty. Stop doing that stuff. Stop it. And also platform shoes, it makes you look like Clydesdales. Oh, if you think I'm even remotely done, I'm not, because we have the New Yorker magazine spread that looked at all of these dirty hippies and leftists. If you get my newsletter at Substack, so that's Sabrina Carpenter. Those are Clydesdale hooves. Those aren't feet. Those aren't heels. Those are Clydesdale hooves. Every time I see them, I think clop, clop, nee, clop, 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 clop. That's all I hear. That's all I hear. Ladies, you're supposed to be like elegant. And not like, and most women can't even walk in heels anyway. It's like watching toddler stomps to stop. Anyway, so if you think I'm even remotely done, stick around. I feel like, you know, somebody's got to be Joan Rivers. God love that woman. Rest her soul. But the New Yorker magazine spread. So New Yorker, they did this. We're going to talk about this coming up. Don't show anything yet. They did this magazine spread where they looked at like all leftists. They are all super far leftists. And I'm thinking that the dirty hippies that were in it that I didn't know were probably like all leftists too. People don't understand that the people who run the New Yorker magazine, they don't understand that people don't find living in New York attractive. Like, I've turned down jobs because they wanted me to move to New York. And when I was apartment hunting in Manhattan, like for my family, I'm like, I cannot raise my kids where they look out the window and see skyscrapers. I can't do this. I've turned down like jobs because of that. People don't realize that normal people who are not in New York don't really want to live in New York. And we don't find anything attractive about it. So they did this whole magazine spread where they were glorifying far left people like Gloria Steinem and all that and showing you their homes, which was such a betrayal of who they really are as people. It's hysterical. And they also had George Soros' Nepo baby in it. We're going to talk about all of that coming up. We're also going to get into some of the latest with the media, two major media malpractice stories that we're going to get into, and this Loudoun County Public School, the situation with the girl in the boys' room, recording the boys. We got all that and more on the way. Gold Co. is making it easy to take that first step toward protecting your savings. Just fill out a quick form, no commitment, just free information. And then they'll ship you your free 2025 gold and silver kit straight to your door. No shipping fees, no strings, just a free info kit to help you understand how gold and silver can fit into your financial plan. I'm a big believer in doing your research, and this kit is a great place to start. So I'm really excited to be partnering with Gold Co. because not only do they support my show, which I truly appreciate, but they've made the whole process of buying precious metals super straightforward. Because if you're a fan of the show, Gold Co. is also going to tell you how to qualify for unlimited free bonus silver on eligible orders. If you qualify, you can even get a free half-ounce silver Ronald Reagan coin, totally free. Don't wait. Take that first step towards protecting and diversifying your savings with Gold Co. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
We are leaving wokeness and weakness behind. No more pronouns, no more climate change obsession, no more emergency vaccine mandates, no more dudes in dresses. We're done with that.
Yeah.
We're focused on lethality, meritocracy, accountability, standards, and
readiness. All I want to hear is, we're here from the military, you're a baddie, we're here to kill you bad. That's all I want to hear. That's great. That's SecDef Hegseth, who says we're done with using the military as a social experiment. As much as I love this, none of this matters unless Congress gets off its fat keisters. How depressing is that? Now you understand my mood. Now you see me. I get all these things dangled in front of me, all these amazing things, all these shiny, awesome things that I've wanted forever. It's like getting a present on Christmas and then your parents are like, oh, we got to take this back. Yeah, that's what's going to happen if Republicans don't get serious and do something about this. You got to make this stuff permanent. We got a second hour coming up. We're going to make fun of some stuff. We're going to go after the media. And why are they going after Fetterman? Oh, that's right, because he's not an anti-Semite. We'll talk about that as well coming up. Stick with us. I've seen the amazing changes Relief Factor has made for so many people, and I've seen it firsthand through my husband Chris's pain relief from using Relief Factor. Right now, it's easy to give their product a try because Relief Factor makes it pain-free with their three-week quick start for just $19.95. Get rid of pain and start living better. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, it works by supporting your body's response to inflammation. It doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. It's safe to take daily, and in fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective. Whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, Relief Factor can help. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Give Relief Factor a try. With their pain-free trial, you can get a three-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Get rid of pain and start living better. Give Relief Factor a try. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or visit ReliefFactor.com.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast. We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope. Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real.
Subscribe to The Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.
Can you tell us a bit more about the deal that you've reached with the Houthis? That you
mentioned? No, it's not a deal. They've said, please don't bomb us anymore and we're not going to attack your ships.
And where did you hear about that?
It doesn't matter where I hear it. The very good source, I could tell you. Very, very good source. Would you say, Marco? I would say pretty good. Right, JD? A very good source.
Not that they're the source and everything. Right, Marco? I mean, the source was great. Isn't that right, Marco? Who's not the source. He's just here, but not being the source. But he would know, right? Because he's, again, he's not the source.
He would know. He's the Secretary of State.
Not the great, I know. What do you mean? I know. I got a great source, right? Marco, wink, wink, nudge, but it's not Marco. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of the second hour. We are in a mood. It's rainy and stormy and just perfectly goth and cynical outside. And we're here in Dallas, Texas. Again, top of the second hour. I like, he's like, the Houthis said, please stop bombing us. That's what you want to hear, right? You want to bully the baddies so bad that they're like, please stop. stop killing us. Stop bombing us. You want the baddies to cry and beg because, you know, complete and total annihilation, that's not really like a victory. Getting them to question everything that they are and everything that they've ever done and everything that they're ever going to be, their purpose in life, to look into that black abyss and question everything and then come back to you and say, please stop. That's victory. A complete and total emotional breakdown of your opponent. That's victory. Just a little thing. You know, it's the little things that make us smile and warm the cockles of our hearts. That's all. So he met with the Canadian Prime Minister, the Mark Carney, whose last name is not lost upon me. The Carney. And he's visiting at the visiting the White House. And POTUS he said that India has already agreed to eliminate all tariffs on U.S. goods. What is it, like tariff for tariff now? So they've already agreed to eliminate.
He said they'll drop it to nothing. I guess it's just a matter of getting it on paper.
We should be friends with India because they have more people there than China does. And they'll throw the CCP off cliffs. I mean, that literally has happened. So, you know, they've been up there in the Hindu Kush tossing off CCP folks just off the cliffs. They run out of ammo and they go to fisticuffs. I'm just saying, they'll whip out those gherkins and beat you to death. So, it's true. Not the vegetable either, the sword. But yeah, so we've got some progress. Now I just want to see all the rest of them. I just want to see a little bit of the rest of it. That's all. We got a number of things. I mean, we've gotten everything. We got Senator Rand Paul is going to be on later on in the program. Can we talk two things? First off, we're going to make fun of Antifa because apparently they're still a thing. I got to talk to you about this idiotic ProPublica award. So when Georgia had their battle over abortifacients, you know, because now the abortion clinic's in the mailbox, as you know, and that's what, you know, the morning after pill, more and more abortions are, you know, are because of this, are coming from the morning after pill. So ProPublica, their reporter, Kavitha Sarana, she had this garbage piece of propaganda where she claimed that Amber Thurman, a Georgian mother, and by the way, Lorraine wrote about all of this over at Substack and has sent this out before. So this is going to sound familiar to you if you're a subscriber. So Amber Thurman, she's one of the women who's named in this propaganda. She took abortion pills because she wanted to get an abortion. She was in Georgia, and she wasn't able, or whatever. She wanted an abortion pill. She didn't want to go in, you know, do it how they normally did. She wanted an abortion pill. And ProPublica wrote a huge thing on this. And the reporter falsely claimed that the, quote, complications from abortion pills are extremely rare, which is so ridiculously false. I don't understand how that is not just reckless endangerment. That's super false. That is, there's a lot of complications from it and have been a lot of complications from this. And so she took an abortifacient, apparently didn't follow didn't seek medical care for I don't know how long, and ended up having serious complications that caused her death as a result. And ProPublica did this piece, and I'm pulling this up, where they acted like the reason that she lost her life was because she couldn't get an abortion. That was how they ran this piece. Quote, abortion bans have delayed emergency medical care. In Georgia, experts say this mother's death was preventable. The problem is that she took the abortion pill and then she didn't go get medical care. By the time she got to the hospital, it was too late. And they were trying to act like they didn't give her care for it. She was already having a miscarriage at that point due to the abortifacient, but she allowed it to go septic within her. I mean, you know, abortion in a mailbox. Abortion clinics in a mailbox. It's stunning to me that this was even, I mean, reported in this way. Because I've seen some propaganda before, but this is actually one of the worst. And here's, like, for instance, They did. There was a study that was done by the Ethics and Public Policy Center based in D.C., and they looked at these prescribed chemical abortions to see how actually dangerous they are. The Federalist ran a piece where they specifically examined how more than one in 10 women who take the abortifacient, they suffered serious adverse health events. And it's actually 22 times higher than the FDA-approved drug label says. That's insane. The abortion pills are killing women. It's not the laws. It's the pills. And the article also says that, you know, they also repeat the lie that even for ectopic pregnancies that, oh, well, they don't even give them care for that. That's an absolute lie because it's not a viable pregnancy. And the viability is that's a sticking point. Ectopic pregnancies are not viable. They're not viable. There is no technology in our modern world that can make them viable. It is not there. It is not something that can be done. And it's treated as a miscarriage. It's treated as such. So ProPublica didn't even get that right. And I have to tell you, I have a certain level of disdain for females who appear, either there's only one of two ways to look at it. They're either stupid about biology and the way that their own physiology and anatomy operates, and thus they write about women's issues without a scientific working fact-based knowledge of what the hell they're writing about. That's number one. Or two, they think that you, by nature of being a woman, are so damn stupid that you're not going to know this stuff. And so they try to pull the wool over your eyes with this propaganda. There is no middle ground here. It is either one or the other. And in both cases, there is an insidious element of maliciousness that is an undercurrent of both, because to be that stupid in this era requires a religious devotion. And they won a Pulitzer for this. I mean, I just, it's stunning to me. That's what it was. I mean, it's, and they reported falsely how she passed away. They ignored all of this other stuff. She legally acquired abortion pills. She legally acquired them. And she was pregnant with twins. She sought abortion as a form of birth control. And so Thurman drove to North Carolina because Georgia has a 6-week limitation, unless you're talking about the life of the mother, etc. So they have a 6-week limitation. She was using it as birth control, as the majority, and by majority I mean 98%, actually it's over 98%, it's 99%. It's less than, according to Planned Parenthood's own statistics, less than 1% have to do with rape or incest, and it's incredibly rare. But they want to lie to you and act like that's the typical. So Amber Thurman, she legally acquired abortion pills. She was pregnant with twins, and she wanted abortion as a form of birth control. She went to North Carolina. She took one abortion pill in North Carolina, and then she got back in Georgia, and she took the other abortion pill. She didn't even follow the instructions for it. And most women, in fact, you know, I just read to you the statistics. You're looking at over a quarter of the women that do this. They end up having to be hospitalized because of the serious complications that are caused by this drug. And she soon discovered that. She developed sepsis, and she was vomiting blood. Even after she went septic and was vomiting blood, she still waited days before she went to the hospital. And for whatever reason, and I think it was because of her physical stability at the time, they were waiting to perform a DNC. Now, you can have medical negligence due to an emergency caused by taking abortion pills. The left falsely claimed that she could not get a DNC upon admitting herself to the hospital because the state laws admit them. That's another lie. Georgia law, and I've written about this as well, and I can read you the statute. It explicitly allows DNCs as a treatment following a miscarriage, which she absolutely has. It's the 2024 Code of Georgia, Title 16, subsection 16.1.1, 16.17.1.0, goes into Chapter 12. It gets into the restrictions and performances of abortion, availability of records, civil cause of action, affirmative defenses. And it gets into the rhyme and reason, the down to the letter of, yes, it allows DNCs. Following a miscarriage, but she had already miscarried. She was already septic. So she waited until she was in sepsis and she was vomiting vast amounts of blood before she even got to the hospital. And the hospital, and I'm not going to, I don't know their reasoning, but I would think that if you're already septic and you're vomiting tons of blood and you've got a crazy high fever, that they're probably, before they do a procedure, are going to want to make sure that you and your heart rate, et cetera, are stabilized first. She did not follow doctor's orders for this. That is not because she couldn't obtain an abortion. It's because she's an idiot who killed herself because she wanted to use abortion as birth control when it would have been a hell of a lot easier to keep her niece kissing in the first place. Let's be honest about it, ladies. I mean, do you not have the responsibility to be responsible as a grown-ass woman? Forgive the Portuguese. I'm not Dora the Explorer here to screen time babysit your kids. I'm asking hard questions. I mean, I hear all this talk about empowered women, but apparently women aren't empowered enough to even follow basic instructions taking an abortion as birth control pill. Seriously. How is that the law's fault? She legally obtained what she got and killed herself because she didn't take it right. And then she waited until she was septic and purging blood. I mean, are we now going to say that women are not only empowered or unempowered, but now we're going to say that they're all stupid too and they can't follow basic medical instructions? Because that's the argument that you must be willing to accept in order to take ProPublica's argument that this was caused by the law and not an idiot broad who did not properly follow doctor's instructions when she wanted to have abortion as birth control, when, as an empowered, responsible woman, she could have kept her knees kissing. Where's the lie? I mean, you might be, you know, mad because you don't like Amazon or Netflix or anything like that. I'm going to just tell you straight up, you are spending double what anybody who has Amazon or what they're paying to Netflix. You're spending way more than that on leftist causes if you haven't switched your cell phone service to Patriot Mobile. There are others that advertise, but they don't actually provide a cell phone service the way that mobile service the way Patriot Mobile does. This is the only, I mean, singularly, the only Christian conservative service in the entire nation. And you're going to pay a lot less. I know that's very important right now. You're going to pay a lot less for your service. They got plans tailored for everybody. But what's more, your money's not working against you at the ballot box. I mean, you're not funding the stuff that you vote against. I think that's pretty significant, right? You got to be mindful with the dollars that you have right now because they're not going a very long way. So you need to be very mindful with how you spend your money. This is nationwide coverage you can trust. They operate on all three major networks. You're connected wherever you go. And they have seamless switching with a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. If you want to keep your number and your phone, you can do it, or you can get new stuff and upgrade. It's just easy to do. And visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. On top of all of this, you're going to get a free month of service with promo code Dana. Switch today. Be mindful with your money. Have your money work for you in defending your ideals. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Are you ready for Googlewood? Don't, actually. They're heading to Hollywood to upgrade its star power. Google's launched a film and TV production initiative called 100 Zeros. Everything is going to be cringe because I just feel like Google half-asses everything. Let's be real. It's just going to be cringe and stupid. They're going to sell projects to the studios and not put them on YouTube. They want to promote their products and a positive image to tech. Do no evil except you are an evil, evil entity. Blank Google. Blank them all to blank. You know, I mean, I can't stand them. They're a useless garbage browser or garbage search engine. Garbage. Low income now means six figures in Bay Area counties. You better be leaving San Francisco. You got to pay. I mean, if you got to pay like $1 million to live in a box, buy some feces and needles. That's how much. Top French chefs are warming to AI in the kitchen. Okay, I don't know how I feel about this. They had all the Michelin Guide Awards. They had all their little Michelin chefs get together, and they were talking about using AI to help them with recipes and ideas. They said a lot of people are using it, but there are so many egos in the business, they're not going to actually admit it. You know, we're going to start seeing it for everything. Recipes, war strategy, business, everything. A man obsessed with firefighters set fire to his own home just so his idols would come and put it out. That's an actual thing. It happened in Britain. And, I mean, he ended up, 26-year-old James Brown from Northumberland was arrested. He was fascinated with firefighters to the point where he literally lit his house on fire so he could see them. Stick with us. Look, your house is your absolute biggest asset. Why in the world you wouldn't have it locked down, I don't know. I mean, you lock your car up and you make sure that, you know, your car is protected. You make sure that, you know, if you own a business, your business is protected. I mean, your money in a bank is protected. But what about your home? The problem in today's AI-driven cyber world is that it's easier and more prevalent than ever to just swindle somebody out of a home title, steal it outright. Your equity is the target. They can forge your signature on a document. It's easy to get a fake notary stamp. They pay a little fee with your county, and then your home title's been transferred out of your name. It's as easy as that. One forged signature is all it takes. The sad thing is that most people don't even know that it's happened. They don't know that it's happened until they start getting foreclosure notices because they're using your equity, the scammers, to take out massive loans. Some of them, there are even stories of people who've had their property sold out from underneath them outright. And you are left to deal with the very expensive aftermath. Most people can't afford to litigate it and protect. They can't. After it's done, most people can't afford to protect themselves. It's that bad. This is why you need Home Title Lock. Home Title Lock can protect you. Use HomeTitleLock.com. You can get a free title history report and a 14-day trial of their $1 million triple lock protection. So that's 24/7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to any changes. And if fraud should happen, they'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. So visit HomeTitleLock.com today and use promo code Dana.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
These are, I can't believe they're still around. Antifa people. They're at the University of Washington being a bunch of losers. They're in Seattle, and they had 25 protesters that were arrested. They were covering their faces and stacking furniture, and they were taking over the building. They were taking over the University of Washington building and covering their faces. 25, tens of people came, whole tens of people came out. They're still out there doing this stuff.
Well, when you get paid to do it.
Losers. They all went to Hot Topic and got all their black attire, and then they went to like military surplus, and it's the only time that they ever would go into one. And they the group is called Super U. Oh, sorry, UW. It's Super U. Do you guys want to hear about Super U? Ew. Bunch of lizards. I am so ignorant today. It's the weather. And just me normally. Super ew. They identify themselves as pro Hamas. They say Palestinian, but we know that Palestine doesn't exist. It's a made up name, and Palestinian isn't an actual ethnicity. They're Jordanians, and they issued all these demands. They wanted to take Boeing out of IEB and a whole bunch of other stupid stuff. They want the building to be renamed. They don't want the building to be named after Boeing. I mean, you know, we've never audited the Fed, and we have all these other things going on, but yeah, sure, get mad over the building name. You guys are losers, losers, losers. They don't accomplish anything. Good night. And they are so upset over the name of this building. That's what they're mad about, Kane. They're not mad about, you know, the deluge that caused everything at the border. They're not mad about the billions upon billions upon billions of dollars, tax dollars that were wasted through U.S. aid and everything else. No, they're not mad about any of that. They're not mad about the nation building of the previous Democrat administrations. They're not mad about any of that stuff. No, they're mad about the name of the building, because leave it to these brain dead, dilly bar, trust fund socialists to only care about miles wide, inches deep BS. So they can pretend that they're like activists and stuff like that. I can't stand these people. Golly, I would not survive. I got in trouble once at a college protest because I got into a fight with some kind of activist. I could not survive on a college campus today. I would be arrested. There's no way, because I'm not going to throw stuff at you. I'm going to swing you around like Tarzan by your hair. I can't with these people. They show up. They're mad over the building name, Kane, dear heavens.
I think they're always mad about the names of things like Forts.
Forts.
Schools. Gulfs. They hate the name changes of those.
They were told that trespassers have to go. If you don't leave, then you're trespassing, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, they're basically all over the page for stuff. And they got really upset. And they they're Antifa rioters. That's what they are. They're rioters. And they're in like bike helmets. One of them was beating a trash can. And they all have their stupid little backpacks. Do you know how easy it would be to just waylay these fools? I mean, one of them has a backpack on bigger than them. I mean, you need to get proportion right. You just tip that sucker over, man, and he's down on the ground. I'm just saying, you know, I'm looking out. Just saying. This is so lame. Their protests are always lame. They're always these like skinny little dudes. I don't know. But the cops, here's the thing. The cops walked away. Did they not get permission to arrest them for being losers? They retreat. That's what they did. I don't know. And of course, you know, I'm looking at them and I know this is important to the left. Guess what? They're all white communists. Oh, shocker. I mean, this one dude in front of the cop looks like he's 5 feet tall. 5 foot with an attitude. He's got a sled that he's hitting. They cut trash cans in half. And I love how they think, look at us. We're being so proactive. They tipped over dumpsters and they're beating their little trash cans and they're yelling at the cops. This one cop, though, I got to say, he's standing there like, I don't know. My hands are tied. I'm not paid enough to care about you morons. I mean, there's 20. If the school really wanted to deal with them, they would deal with them. It's not hard. It takes a second. Okay. You just deal with them. This is so dumb. Why would anybody go and stay in Seattle? We were in Seattle. Now, look, I love our affiliates up there. Everyone assures me that outside of the city, it's real proper. Can't remember when Kane and I went up there for a market visit once.
That was a fun time, actually.
Dude, we were the only people who did not look like we were going to mountain climb. Can I just, an aside here?
Our hotel, though.
I need our fam that's in Seattle right now listening. I need y'all to be explaining something to me. So, is it a requirement that you must at all times be prepared to hike?
Yes.
Because without fail, I'm not even kidding you. I was in because they got coffee shops everywhere. And I was getting breakfast coffee. And there was a dude in his suit. And he had on an outdoor jacket over his suit. And he had on hiking boots with a suit. That's the first I've ever seen. Like, yeah. In case he wanted to leave the board meeting and then like hike up into the mountains and go see some Sasquatch. I don't know. It was fascinating to me. Everybody was all kitted out at all times to go hike outside, even if they were just like walking their dog outside. Yep. I've never seen anything like that. Now, I have to be honest, I don't think all of them hike, but they wore it. Anyway, one of these fellers here, it has hiking boots on. It's the only reason. I just happened to peep the feet and I could see some hikers on. Just saying. But yeah, why are the cops falling back? Stand your ground. What are they going to do? Run up against you with their little trash cans? Come on. These people thrive on the indulgence of non-action. That's what it is. Be like, get off property or I'm going to knock you back on your backside. That's what's going to happen. You're going to get off the property and you're going to go. And I mean, Antifa is just, they're actual fascists and they try to co-opt the name is what it is. But yeah, they didn't push them down a hill. Can I just stop also with the breathless hyperbole that's used to describe this?
They're sort of advancing on the cops. And
they're
the cops
walking. They're strolling. The cop is like, I don't care. The cop is reacting like he would to two toddlers fighting and he's done with it. But they're like, Antifa pushes Seattle PD down a hill, fully repelling them. Oh my gosh, stop. It's a bunch of dweebs in Hot Topic hoodies that they just got. And they're just being loud and annoying. Again, if they wanted to if they wanted to get rid of Antifa, they could. I don't think you should tolerate stuff like this. I am the spare the rod, destroy the child kind of thing. You don't, why would you, stop tolerating this stupid nonsense. If you're not protesting when you're occupying a building, you're trespassing. And you're being a hoodlum. Stop it. Just quit. The idea that they're mad about the building name, wah, get over it. you know, then have mommy or daddy buy the naming rights. I mean, you guys are trust fund communists. Go ahead and have mommy and daddy buy the naming rights. You know, the same people that make sure that your credit card is paid that you use to pay for all your essentials in life. Good night. These people. I don't know why they're not arrested. It just looks dumb. I would have knocked them all on their ass and arrested them. That's what I'd have done. But that's why I'm not. I couldn't cut it in Seattle. I wouldn't be able to stand it. Can we also discuss how CNN thinks that Mexicans are too afraid to celebrate Cinco de Mayo with Audio Soundbite 5? Because I'm... we got to talk about some media malpractice. Go ahead and hit us with this one.
Today is May 5th, and that means Cinco de Mayo, Wolf, a holiday that celebrates Mexico's victory over France. But some in the Battle of Puebla, I should say, but some communities have canceled or scaled back cultural events because of President Trump's crackdown on illegal immigration and the fear among many Latinos that they could be arrested.
Why, thank you, white blonde woman. And the man whose name is Wolf, thank you. So one of my friends, and so I'm going to ask white adjacent Kane and Juan here. So even though it's like a Mexican thing, one of my friends who is Mexican says that no real Mexican actually celebrates Cinco de Mayo. Is that true?
It's actually true. I mean, we may have some Mexican food that day, but what is there to celebrate, honestly? What is there to do?
My friend,
celebrate?
She goes, look, the only people who celebrate this, she goes, are the suburban people who go out to, like, you know,
yeah, to get margaritas,
TGI Fridays, yeah, and they have some margaritas. Sure. Those are the only people who celebrate it. Yeah. Is it true?
Well, and the businesses that sell those things.
Well, yeah, but it's not like a giant. It's not a giant Hispanic celebration, is what she was saying.
No, it is not.
Because I was like, wait, you've never celebrated? She was like, no.
Nope.
Interesting.
There's nothing like. Like every year, you know, we do the 4th of July. We have like the barbecue and the fireworks and there's a whole
You got a cookout. Yeah,
For Cinco de Mayo, it's not. It's like, wow, let's grab one of the, let's get an avocado on that taco today. It's not really.
Put an extra lime in the mark.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah. I was just dying laughing at it because I thought it was hysterical. But leave it to she is the lady on CNN, the blonde white savior there. Oh my goodness. How racist is that? Oh, there's security even celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Well, it's the white people that they're serving that are celebrating Cinco de Mayo. And they're not celebrating Cinco de Mayo for the same reason that they all pretend to be Irish on St. Paddy's Day. They're not celebrating St. Paddy. They're drinking.
That's what it is.
It's exactly, a drinking day. It's a day where you can drink. And it's like, oh, you're drunk and it's 2 o'clock. Well, it is St. Paddy's Day. Oh, you're drunk and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, well, it is Cinco de Mayo. That's acceptable.
Same thing.
Maybe I'm being too. So I was raised, it's not a formally written rule, but it's like you don't get drunk when the sun's up is the rule, unless it's 4th of July.
Right.
Maybe St. Paddy's Day. But, you know, then that's acceptable. You're at a cookout. Yeah. But, you know, otherwise, nah, not for a minor thing. You don't do that stuff.
But Cinco de Mayo is like the St. Paddy's Day.
It is. It's the Mexican St. Paddy's Day.
It's like America's excuse to day drink.
Yeah, it is. That's right. They're one, like Halloween is the chance to walk around in slutty stuff for like a lot of women.
Exactly.
This is, exactly.
Excuse to day drink.
I was laughing hysterically over that because, you know, it looks even more ridiculous when you see that CNN soundbite, when you hear it. Oh my gosh, Wolf, me, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white woman, all the Mexicans are so scared to celebrate Cinco de Mayo because they're going to get totes arrested. Ah! So, I can't believe this is an actual CNN thing. And he sat there like, you know, again, this is my favorite thing to say right now, a cigar store Indian just blinking, you know. So they're canceling this. They're afraid of being deported by ICE. I don't think. Could you be any more racist there, Karen? Could you be more racist? You see, I don't even know who that was. They just rotate these people to sit in by Wolf. But
by the way, they can self-deport. They don't have to be at the mercy of ICE.
Okay, can we talk about that coming up? Because I don't want to pay anybody to self-deport. GTFO.
What?
I'm not paying you $1,000.
I do.
You can self-deport or I will drag you out by your ankles.
I disagree with you 100%.
And I will yeet you the hell over the Rio.
I completely disagree with you
100%. I am not paying. Where's the money coming from, Kane?
What do you mean? It's coming from the saving.
Why is the carpet wet, Todd?
Did you see the per person? Did you see the per person of the cost it does per person to deport using ICE, and then what it costs, the suggested cost for self-deporting.
And there is you can do this with your hands all you want to when you talk.
More than $10,000 per person savings by doing the self-deportation.
King thinks that if he emphasizes doing the chef kiss hand, that it makes it more accurate.
I do.
It doesn't. So
sometimes
no,
talk with my hands.
No. Why is it? That's first off, that's a false argument, and here's why.
It's not.
Why do we have to give them any money? You can deport or you can get yeeted the hell over the Rio.
Okay.
I'm sure Daddy Holman's got some arm strength that he can
free
just
to get
lob
yeeted?
You over by your ankle.
Do you think it's free to get yeeted? Is that what you think?
I would yeet someone over for free.
Yes, of course. You and I would totally do that for free.
No, hear me out. My dream, I want to make a trebuchet. I don't know why. It's a fascinating medieval weaponry and the balance of which, you know, I think it's amazing.
I'm still with
we
you.
We could just put a bunch of them in there and just bloop, bloop.
I am 100% for that idea. It's still not free. The trebuchet costs money.
I would pay for its construction.
Yes, but it still costs money. And
you would have a bowl big enough to fit 20 illegal immigrants in and then just bloop, right over.
This is a great idea.
The cartels can lay some pillows down on the other side.
Crapping on the idea. There's a money savings here. And
the money savings is to yeet them over. And there are a lot of people who would do it, like myself, who would love nothing more than weekend warrior.
It turns
trip.
Out that self-yeeting is cheaper.
That's not self-yeeting if you're paying them.
It's self-yeating.
You're incentivizing illegal crossing.
Yes.
And then and then they're going to come back because then you're leaving the door for them to come back.
To a tune that's much cheaper.
Oh, my gosh. No. I am not going for less money. I'm going for no money spent. None.
Could Luigi Mangione's killing of the United Healthcare CEO lead to anarchy in America? Pastor Alan Jackson says yes.
But he shot this insurance executive. And I mean, there's this whole host of people trying to justify it because their insurance got canceled. Therefore, it's okay to go assassinate some insurance worker. That is teetering on anarchy.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Goldco is making it easy to take that first step toward protecting your savings. Just fill out a quick form, no commitment, just free information. And then they'll ship you your free 2025 gold and silver kit straight to your door. No shipping fees, no strings, just a free info kit to help you understand how gold and silver can fit into your financial plan. I'm a big believer in doing your research, and this kit is a great place to start. So I'm really excited to be partnering with Goldco because not only do they support my show, which I truly appreciate, but they've made the whole process of buying precious metals super straightforward. Because if you're a fan of the show, Goldco is also going to tell you how to qualify for unlimited free bonus silver on eligible orders. If you qualify, you can even get a free half-ounce silver Ronald Reagan coin, totally free. Don't wait. Take that first step towards protecting and diversifying your savings with Goldco. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A Florida man was sentenced for assaulting a DFW gate agent. 53-year-old Florida man was sentenced to 4 months in federal prison for assaulting the DFW gate agent in October of last year. He pled guilty to interference with security screening personnel. He faced 10 years for the crime. He was at the gate. Security footage showed him repeatedly punching the gate agent in the head. Now, there have all been times when we felt like doing that. But you don't do it because assault's illegal. And he admitted that he did it. Obviously, because he's on camera doing it. But they removed him from the jet bridge. And you can't do stuff like that. Some people are specialer than you. You can't do that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, you're not, you know, they're find a different way to resolve. Am I supposed to feel super sad? We've all been in a bad, we all have bad stories. But you don't, you can't do that with them because they're particularly protected. Let's see. Florida man smeared feces in jail cell after his DUI arrest at Santa Rosa Beach. That's kind of gross. I'm not doing the one where the guy had three wives in three different counties because for the fourth day it keeps appearing in these headlines. So this guy, he was in jail, Santa Rosa Beach. He was taken in Walton County. He was driving under the influence. There was all these disruptive incidents. And they arrested 47-year-old Jason Buchanan. And he was harassing people, confrontational. When they got him, he
went to the bathroom in his cell and made a giant mess. He's got a long criminal history, though, unfortunately. Stick with us. Third hour on the way. I'm always going to tell people to carry. I'm always going to tell you to carry lead, and I have zero issues at all whatsoever using lethal force to smack down a threat to me or my family. But I understand also that not everyone wants you to be safe. The people who pass these gun-free zones and gun control, they don't care if you're a statistic. They don't care about your family. They don't care if you live or die. They just want a virtue signal about this stuff. So this is where Burn a Gun comes in, because they understand certain places are disarming you legit. And, you know, we're big kids. I would love to be able to pick and choose exactly where I go all the time, but I can't. So as a result, you know, a lot of my friends have gone out and gotten the Burn a Gun, right? You always, it's good to have a diversified weapons array. You have blades, you have different calibers. With something like this, when you are disarmed and you're not able to carry in certain spaces, this comes in clutch. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. And instead of like one or two rounds, like a traditional taser or something, this is five rounds. They have several different models, the CL, which we'll be talking about soon, but the SD, I have a lot of friends that have gone out and gotten the SD. They have rifles in that, but I think, you know, for this purpose, this is, you know, the SD is what you need to get, and that's what I would recommend. There's no recoil at all whatsoever, and there's no background check. This thing doesn't care about stupid gun-free zone signs. It's legal in all 50 states. No background checks, no permits. It can be no waiting period, shipped right to your door, so it's accessible for everybody. Visit Byrna.com/Dana to get 10% off. BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off your purchase.
We can't have this, you know, impasse, this fight going on with Canada. It is ridiculous. And let me just tell you a little story. Last week, I ran into a couple I know. She's French-Canadian. He's French. They were planning a big wedding in Florida. They're no longer getting married in Florida.
Oh, really?
Because their relatives and friends don't want to travel to Florida. So that's money lost for the florist and the caterer and the venue and the parkers and the airlines and the airport workers and the drivers, all in Florida. And
they
it's happening in
choice,
Maine. It's happening in so
else.
Many states.
So
that
it's your stupid friends and their family, their responsibility, not anybody else. It would be great if this sellout could advocate for the United States as much as she tries to advocate and clout chase everywhere else. I think I'm done playing her audio soundbites for a while, but that's just the stupidest reasoning. It's what's her face from The View. Welcome back to the program. We are at the top of this third hour. Dana Lash with you. Channel 347 is where you can find the streaming, the video component of the radio program. And of course, the chats at Rumble. You can also find us at X, YouTube, all that. We were going to have Senator Rand Paul on, but he's had to reschedule, so we'll have information about that later. So a few other things to touch on, including this crazy story coming out of Loudoun County, Virginia. They have been in the news nonstop for some of this stuff. Listen to this. So this was in a school locker room, right? Loudoun County Public Schools, they've opened a Title IX investigation into three high school boys who said they were uncomfortable with the female student using the boys' locker room. And their policy allows students to use school bathrooms, locker rooms, according to how they identify that day rather than their actual biological sex. And the father, in fact, a Virginia father, was the one who reached out and was making the news, Channel 7 News aware. They said that there's an investigation into his son. They're investigating the boys and trying to figure out whether or not the boys committed sexual harassment after they and their friends were discussing how uncomfortable they felt with the fact that there was a girl in their locker room. And it was a girl who decided that she was going to pretend to be a boy. And so they're 15 years old. And they said that the boys were very uncomfortable with the girl in the locker room. And they're being accused of sexual harassment for expressing their concerns. The female student started using the boys' locker room. And after gym class one day, she used her phone to record his son and his friends in the locker room. And he said, I also have a daughter. The dad said, I also have a daughter in that school. And if there was a male in there videotaping her in the locker room, I would also have issues. He said, even if it was someone of the same sex, that is an invasion of their privacy. Yeah, and you're a pervert if you're recording people in the locker room. And according to the school's own policy, video and audio recordings are prohibited in school locker rooms. But the student who recorded the video apparently is not receiving any consequence. All of the penalties are falling on the boys because they spoke out. And the boys are being accused of sexually harassing a girl. Now you tell me how that's possible. If this tart wants to identify as a boy and use the boys' locker room, and they're going to pretend that she's a boy using the boys' locker room, how is it sexual harassment if she is perceived to be a boy and the boys are speaking out against someone who's pretending to be a boy, videotaping them in the locker room? You're pretending that they're all boys, so you can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, that's sexual harassment, but also she's a boy. You can't have it both ways. And he's like, you know, these are kids that have great school records. They have no disciplinary issues. They clearly were uncomfortable. And the girl was being a B. It's what it is. And now they're being targeted. And the boys are being punished. I'm just shocked at this. She's not being punished for violating the rule against recording in the bathrooms or the locker rooms. They're the ones being targeted because they spoke up. And they're going to have that on their record. Sexual harassment is going to be on their record. So in the future, you know, if they go out for scholarships or anything else, when someone sits down and they're looking at this, they're not going to see, they're just going to see the thing that says sexual harassment on the record. There's not going to be any nuance. And the worst is going to be assumed. The student, the girl, is not facing any consequences, apparently, because of that recording. The boys are in trouble because they objected to it and they felt uncomfortable that a girl was recording them changing in the locker room. Where's the parent of this girl? I'd file charges against the parent of the girl for harassment, for intimidation. I think this is extortion also. I'd find some way to finagle that in there. There needs to be a penalty for these people, the people who do this stuff. I had cousins. This was in Hillsboro, Missouri. I had cousins that at that school, young girls in high school, athletes, and there was an 18-year-old boy that wanted to pretend to be a girl and wanted to change in their bathrooms, in their locker rooms. The girls were terrified. They were all like taking turns changing in the bathroom in the hallway. So he had use of the whole locker room by himself, despite the fact that he was a crap athlete and, you know, really didn't contribute anything. They accommodated him over literal entire sports teams of girls at that school. This is a few years ago. There's got to be strict penalties. I would explore every avenue of lawfare that I could. Personally, I would literally take out a loan and I would threaten to financially ruin that family unless they got their kid in check, because that's the only way these people are going to pay attention and listen. There has to be clear penalties for this stuff. Oh, you don't want to have an issue with your kid and having to go to court and dealing with harassment and bullying and extortion, and because that's what this is. This is extortion. Go along with it or we're going to do this to you. That's extortion. They're extorting children to accommodate perversion. And the boys can't even raise issues? Yeah, you're damn right this dad's mad. Absolutely. There were a lot of parents who've been speaking up. This school has had problem after problem. If you ask, is this the same school district where a girl was raped in the bathroom? Yes, it is. You guys remember that? The girl who was sexually, brutally assaulted in the bathroom by a boy, a bigger boy. I think he was 18 years old, who wanted to identify as a girl, and they hid it from her dad. And then they secretly transferred him to a different school where he did it again to another girl in another bathroom. They protect perversion. This is like one of, I mean, I've got all kinds of, this has been going on for years at this school. It was the Stonebridge High School where the boy assaulted the girl. That was in 2021. And then, the next year, there was a boy who changed in the girls' locker room at the Loudoun Valley High School. And the daughter was uncomfortable because she said he was leering at her. She got in trouble for even voicing concern. There was another one, same district, at the Woodgrove High School, where they had student protests. And by the way, you've got Christian families, atheist families, Muslim families, Hindu families, every like creed, background, and even political persuasion are all united in this because they realize how dangerous this is. And do you remember in February of last year when they had a big school board meeting about it? They shut the cameras off for public comment so that no one could see what the parents were telling the school board. So that parents couldn't voice their concerns. They did that after that dad blew up that story about his daughter being raped in the bathroom. That was all on video. That was live streamed. So after that happened, oh boy, they don't want to have to deal with this again. We better shut these cameras off. This is the stuff this school's doing. This was one of the things that they were trying to make happen in our school district. And we had a knockdown, drag out, multi-million dollar fight to take over the school board over this. Man, they brought in NBC. They had Lester Holt here. They had the NBC cameras driving around our subdivisions. They had news producers that crashed a woman's house. They were having a meeting with parents. It was a bunch of grassroots parents. In fact, the family that led it are Cuban. The dad's a Cuban immigrant. He came over here as a kid. And he was leading it, but they wouldn't talk to him because he wasn't white. That's true. That's actually true. The NBC producers ignored him because he was brown. He was a brown father who came from Cuba as a child. And they didn't, oh, can't have that. They need to make it look like it's a bunch of white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Christian Trumpians that are objecting to this stuff. There was a Vietnamese family that helped the Cuban family lead the charge. There were Muslims in our community that were speaking out against this. NBC ignored all of them. The rule, the unwritten rule at NBC was if they're brown, don't take it down. That was their unwritten rule. They weren't going to talk to any of these parents and feature any of their concerns about what was happening with the trans stuff and the CRT in schools. And Loudoun County in Virginia, this is like the worst of the worst. I can't even imagine. Can you imagine? I'd lose my mind. Now, John Fetterman is under attack. I've seen two hit pieces alone this morning about him. And they're saying, oh, there's a divide driving a wedge between him and his wife. Oh, there's a devastating decline being exposed. Oh, all these people like Politico writing pieces, Daily Wire, or not Daily Wire, Daily Mail, which will just take oppo from people and run it. It's so dumb. They're really trying to act. They're really trying to drive this as controversial because he has been very critical of Hamas. Now, he's a Democrat. He's got Democrat fiscal policies. He's got a lot of Democrat policies that I don't like. He just doesn't like Hamas. And they're going after him over this. And it's like that now all the knives are out for Fetterman. Now remember when they were trying to say you can't question his ability to serve because of his stroke? Well, now what do you think they're doing? They're literally questioning his ability to serve because of his stroke. I actually think that he's even better than he ever was now. He's more coherent. He's clearly more clear-minded. He just isn't not going to put up with this stuff. And they've got knives out for him. They're going to primary him for a seat. How much you want to bet as we roll towards headlines? Our partners that help bring you the program, our friends over at All Family Pharmacy, they've got you covered. Whatever it is that you need. Is it any of the medications or therapeutics that the system tried to keep from you during lockdown? You know, things like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, which are so completely safe to take. I mean, they even allow pregnant women. They sometimes will suggest hydroxychloroquine for them. Because you can't rush through experimental injections and hand Pfizer multi-billion dollar paydays if you don't ban therapeutics. This is the thing. Like they didn't just dismiss alternatives. They outright destroyed them. They wanted you to rely on the government and just listen to whatever they were ordering you to do. Well, things have changed. And there's All Family Pharmacy. All Family Pharmacy has your daily maintenance medications. They also have the ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, everything. Simple, fast, and affordable. No insurance, no problem. They got straightforward pricing, online ordering, shipping in just 2 to 4 days or overnight in a pinch if you need it. Everything is made in the USA. All of their medications are manufactured right here in the USA, ensuring high standards of quality and safety. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana for 10% off using promo code Dana10. Don't wait. Be prepared. Protect yourself and your family today. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Use coupon code Dana10 to save 10%.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All righty. So a Georgia camper kills a rabid bobcat with his bare hands. He said it was either him or me. Georgia man was left fighting for his life. A rabid bobcat attacked him while he was out camping. Okay, can I just say this is another reason, like, why? I mean, I'm all for going out in nature, but I ain't going to sleep out in it because we invented the house as a people, you know. As humans, we invented the house. But this feller, Midway, Georgia, Hunter Hudson, he's out camping, and a bobcat struck without warning. And he says, it was me or him. It was me or him. And I got two little boys, 12 and 5, and daddy's coming home. He said he was enjoying a quiet campfire when a sound in the dark just shattered the night. I heard a crazy noise. You know, I never heard it before, he said. And then that bobcat came out of nowhere. His friend apparently got the video without even helping him. I'm like, help him. His friend's recording the video like, ah. He says, I walked out of my camper and got attacked by a bobcat. He goes, I wasn't looking for the bobcat. The bobcat found me and jumped on my shoulder. He said his gun was out of reach, so he had to rely on pure instinct. He said he grabbed him, pulled him as hard as he could, took his thumbs and put him in his nose, hurt his nose so he couldn't breathe. He had blood running at the end of his fingertips. He said, I had to call the ambulance. And then the bobcat tested positive for rabies. So he had 40 shots. And they're about a half an inch to an inch needles. They're real painful shots. I mean, modern medicine had not improved on them. They are real painful. You got to get that medicine deep in there. But his friend had the footage of it. And I'm like, did he stop to hand you the gun at any point? Or, you know, where you could at least shot it in the head, something? I don't know. In Massachusetts, if you smell cucumbers in your home, get out. Now, wait a minute. This is not right. I grew up with copperheads. I don't think they smell like cucumbers, but they say that it mimics the scent of cucumbers. It has a musk, but I don't think it's like cucumbers. Kane, you grew up around copperheads too.
Yeah.
I mean, how we'd be out in the woods all the time.
I don't remember this cucumber smell, but they say whenever they get bothered or threatened that's the
there
scent.
There is
they give
a
off.
Musk that you can smell.
Yeah.
But cucumbers? I almost stepped on one time.
How
I had a dog got attacked by it. We got in a nest of
how
them.
How you say cucumber?
How you say cucumber? If you wanted to be Hillary, what's her face, Baldwin? How you say you get the hair away from the copperhead snake? How you say cucumber? That woman. I've never heard of that before. Cucumber. Men are shaving off their eyelashes because they said that it makes them look feminine. Stop it. Stop doing that, men. A famous gorilla hurls a rock into a crowd at a zoo and hit a man on the head. I feel like doing that some days. Some days I feel just like that Harambe wannabe right there. I do. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Bottom of the third hour.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this third hour, and we're talking about some films, and I saw this great image of Rooftop Koreans. It's an AI thing, and I'm like, that Quentin Tarantino needs to do a film on that. I know he's like done with all of it, but still, speaking of like film and arts, and I want to switch it up, because can we talk about the entitlement of that's so often celebrated by the media. I got media malpractice. Like, we've got, there's a stupid New York Times piece. We had the ProPublica stuff. NPR, obviously, CNN that interviewed a Sinaloa terrorist. Well, what are your feelings about POTUS? Because they're all about terrorists. You had Brian Stelter, real quick, who had tweeted that right now newsrooms need to do a better job of incorporating Constitution 101 into their news coverage. And while we're at it, maybe Schoolhouse Rock needs to make a comeback. I'm like, oh, you're interested in this now, but you weren't interested in it back when you had a presidential candidate and a party that tried to undermine a free and fair election by merging discredited Oppo through a literal firm that was lobbying for Russian oligarchs, Fusion GPS, and they got slammed. They violated the FEC laws. They had to pay a hefty fine for it. And then they bypassed the procedures that are in place to protect citizenry and to protect our due process when they used favor to expedite the request to get a surveillance warrant on a private citizen due to politics. So middle finger to you, because you guys, Brian Stelter and everybody at CNN and MSNBC, have not cared about this for forever. You guys try to delegitimize the courts. You have defended abuse of power under every Democrat administration. Do not start complaining now. Do not start complaining now. It's asinine. Now they want to try to wrest the mantle of ombudsman away. All right, speaking of media, The New Yorker. I don't read The New Yorker. I don't read The New Yorker because I don't care. I don't live in New York. But this was too funny to not. I have a piece up at Substack called Never Dress Like Your Furniture Unless You're Rich. So they have this like super swanky photo spread in The New Yorker of all of these like big leftists and dirty hipsters. I will make an excuse. I exclude Martin Scorsese from this. I like Martin Scorsese. I like Martin Scorsese. First off, they took pictures of all these people in their living rooms, and Martin Scorsese's house is amazing, and I'm not going to... No, it's a goth dream, and no criticism for him. Also, I appreciate the fact that after Alec Baldwin murdered a woman on set, that Hollywood was calling to get rid of guns on all films, and Scorsese went crazy on everybody saying, hell no. So, good for him. And he's not woke. Martin Scorsese is absolutely, like, the opposite of woke. He's a gem. He's a rare gem in Hollywood. So I exclude him. He's in this. But they were looking at like these New York artists and hipsters and all this stuff and taking photos of them in their living rooms. And can I ask a question? I'm not trying to sound like purposefully obtuse. Are shelves like not a thing anymore? Is it the reason I ask, do we just like put our stuff on the floor now? That's Martin Scorsese's house. Okay, that's him and his daughter, Francesca. Beautiful home. Perfectly. I mean, you got the lead glass. You got the cool. I mean, it's perfect. He's excluded. So. The other people, though, no. The other people in this spread, they don't have his taste. I mean, that's a goth dream. Come on. That's a goth dream. So they did this big spread. And the first thing I saw was nubby worn carpets, books on the floor, because apparently it's really cool to pretend to be poor for shelves. And I don't even know who some of these people are. It was very important to make sure that no one in the spread have shoes or socks on. And I know that they were trying to like evoke this relaxing at home feel, but it was gross. Feet don't need to be seen. Put them away. It's gross. I just don't like them. They're nasty. They are unfortunate things that we have to deal with as humans. But it feels forced and awkward. It just feels like robotic and cringe. Like there's this one living room. It's the first photo that I have. But it was this woman. She's barefoot and she's standing on this nubby green, super saturated 70s avocado theme. Her husband's organized, like he's arranging flowers, and the whole room, like the carpet looks very thread worn. The chairs look dilapidated. That's in Greenwich Village. That looks like it smells like stale cigarettes, feet, and gym, right? Like, what is the point of like what? Look at the nubby carpet. You're supposed to have like a feel envy for this. Like they're like showcasing like this is the creme de la creme. One of my favorite. I mean, it's like literally from the 70s. When I was a kid, this is going to make sense in a moment. My grandmother had a garden shed. They did lots of stuff in the garden shed. Moonshine in the bathtub, all kinds of stuff. But my grandmother and I once found a nest of like buttons and doll heads and coins and like a sock. And it was in a garden shed that this little wood rat like probably spent its whole little life running around collecting stuff, and that she trashed it in like minutes. And I thought about this when I saw Gloria Steinem's dresser top. She's in front of this like yellow, like ochre wall. And I was looking on top of her dresser, and my first thought was, who dusts all this garbage? She's got like a pack rat collection on top of her dresser. It's a rat's nest. It's weird. And she looks skeletal. She's the feminist sellout. Then you have Al Sharpton. And I don't know if you've ever, I've seen pictures of Al Sharpton's house before. He's got like this like two-story penthouse. And he's in front of a portrait of himself, predictably. And then he's got this spotless, bougie as all get out pet enclosure. Is that his actual bed? The pet enclosure has like an acrylic water bowl in it. People who have no idea what animals do apparently decided to make that. Maybe that's his little enclosure in his house. I don't know. The big thing, though, the pièce de la résistance was the George Soros Nepo baby and Anthony Weiner's ex-wife, a.k.a. Hillary Clinton's right-hand woman. This is what kicked it all off. They are literally dressed like their chairs. Again, with the 70s avocado green. Because you can't be truly rich unless you can dress like your furniture. So here he's doing his best to convince you that he's a heterosexual male and that he likes this woman. And I just need to stop, full stop right here. They're glowering at the camera as rich people do. They're not only in sync with each other, they're in sync with their literal actual furniture because they're better and richer than you. He's a Nepo baby. I mean, can you afford to dress like your furniture? I don't think so. His little platform sneaks, they just give me total Clydesdale hoof vibes. And he's wearing manpries. You guys know what manpries are, right?
No.
Capris for men. And he's got just enough of that pale sausage cankle peeking through. Throw that photo back up, Juan. The one where you got the Nepo babies in green. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look at that. Look at the pale sausage cankle peeking through. And he's got his Clydesdale platform sneaks on, right? Her trousers are like meticulously unhemmed. Like they're rebelling against tailoring. And they has a laissez-faire attitude to like puzzles and feces and grime walking the streets of Manhattan. Because let's be real, they don't walk the streets of Manhattan. They ride on the backs of fat cherubs. They flit them about to and fro. And the cherubs' wings are made of dollars. That's what this is. So I don't know. The other one that I really, really love. By the way, look how, did they look like normal people? That's like Scott Evil, Dr. Evil's son, Scott, and his girlfriend in their Nepo baby house that this dude would never be able to afford if his daddy wasn't George Soros. Sure. But the other one that I thought was hysterical is the woman who's partially responsible for the scourge of modern art. I hate modern art. I hate modernity. I hate all of it. Her name's Agnes Gund. And she is sitting in her, apparently she only has one chair in her giant East Side expanse. And I joked, I was like, her and her dog take turns sitting in the one chair in their penthouse. And she's got this, like all this modern art everywhere. Like one of the pieces that she has is, I kid you not, a literal black canvas with one red stripe painted across. You know, that's worth more than like your city that you live in. That one painting is probably worth 11 quadrillion, frillion, pillion dollars. You know that. And she's just like sitting there in this chair, this like restoration hardware looking chair. And I mean, I don't even understand. I just hate the art. There was like, in addition to the Scorsese thing, there was one thing in here where it was just a framed thing of garbage pail kid cards. Now that I literally would punch out a kid on a playground to get a garbage pail kid card. Kane, that was like Jolly Ranchers and Garbage Pail Kids were the currency for Gen X back in the day.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, like in prison, they got like cigarettes. Okay, well, in playgrounds, it was Jolly Ranchers and Garbage Pail Kid cards.
Yeah. Even like Pokemon cards today, you couldn't even really, I mean, it's kind of that comparison.
Yeah.
You didn't have really any games or, you know, got to catch them all sort
of
thing.
Parents like Pokemon cards back then. They thought Garbage Pail Kid cards, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that's of the devil. I don't even know who this lady is, but she is. I don't really like anything else in her apartment, but the professionally framed Garbage Pail Kid collection that she's got on her wall, it is chef's kiss. It's amazing. I do like that. That's the only thing that's like worth it. Oh my gosh. So they did, and I get it that they were just like showcasing different people. You can't tell me that there aren't any conservatives. They had AOC there. I was looking at what she was crocheting, and it looks like garbage. Like, I can just tell that her gauge is all jacked up, and she's that look. What is she trying to do? Like, it's all misshapen. I mean, even in its early stage, there's still some kind of form. Girl, you cannot crochet probably as well as you cannot make a drink. And how did her dog, who is not supposed to jump because French bulldogs jumping is bad for their back, get up on the sofa? Did she lift him up there? I don't know, but whatever. I just think it's just hysterical that they decided, like, let's look at these insufferably, except for Scorsese, these insufferably liberal people in their houses. And they're all trash. Like, they have no taste. There was no taste in any of it, except for Scorsese's. I mean, it looked dirty, Kane.
Yeah.
For those who don't understand, will you please explain the whole avocado green thing that was like in the 70s, and then people who didn't remodel their houses, it went all the way up into the 90s?
I don't even understand it.
Like, appliances were that color.
No, everything was that color. Toasters, your hand mixers. I mean, things, everything was that color. I'm not kidding. Everything. Tabletops, like actual tables.
Oh, Micah.
Yeah. The floor.
Oh, my God.
Doorknobs. Everything was that color.
Aunt. Do you remember the stoves and the refrigerators?
Yes. Yep.
Were all that green, weird green color. Avocado green. What? They're trying to make it come back. And it looks dirty and shabby. I don't like it.
Well, yeah, it looks like how we grew up.
Yeah.
And we grew up kind of poor.
Yeah, we grew up poor.
So it's kind of like derelict chic is what they're trying to pull off right now.
It's like grimy, stinky chic. I don't even know how. Like, stinky chic. I don't even know how to.
But they're there is no positive psychological response to that color.
Why did they do the spread? Because was it to make us not like these people? Because I dislike them more now.
Nobody likes that color, though. Like, has anyone ever told you they prefer avocado green for anything?
And can we talk about the people that have the giant modern art pieces? I hate modern art so bad because it's just so unimaginative, honestly. Oh, this is my interpretation. Oh, shut up. You can't paint, and so you just did this. Shut up. But they have like nothing in their, look at my big, completely obscene, totally doesn't work with the architecture or anything else, modern art piece. I'm so enlightened and so bleh. Gag me. I just, no, no thanks. No thanks. That's why Scorsese's is so perfect, because it's all like, it just works. Every bit of it works. But this is the stuff that they run. They run this stuff thinking that this is going to appeal to you. This will appeal to you, right? No. Oh, Lorraine notes in the 80s. Do you remember? Okay, so you had, I know we're going long, but hold up. Avocado green in the 70s. In the 80s, it was cornflower blue.
Oh, yeah.
I had a rich friend who had cornflower blue carpet. You guys remember that? Who puts blue carpet in their house? It doesn't go with anything. But cornflower, that was the big thing. God, and mauve. Is that right? Mauve?
Yeah,
that, mauve. It's like a...
The purpley
pink color.
Color.
I don't know. I don't do it. I'm like, that's super pink. Light purple. I don't know. It's like soft pink. I don't know. But everything, like as she notes, like the toilets, the showers, the sinks, it's all that color.
Yes.
The appliances in your kitchen. I want my toilet to match my stove.
Right.
I don't know. But that's what they think that this appeals to you because it's rich people in New York and that everybody in flyover or who is not in New York wants to be like this.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right. I went a little long that last segment, but it was worth it. Tomorrow, the left is stepping up their attacks on John Fetterman because he's not a Hamas-loving, goat-shagging anti-Semite. So would you think I would tweet it and not say it, Kane? I mean, Steve and you both said
still
do
makes
it.
Makes me laugh.
Oh, man. So make sure you're going to want to tune in tomorrow. In the meantime, find us on YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe. We're also at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Lots of good stuff that comes out there regularly. I will be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.